Hey, everybody. Before we get to today's episode on Predators, just wanted to let you know, big reminder here, the Craven tier is alive and kicking and on the Patreon right now, patreon.com/we8movies. We've already broadcast this month's edition of WHM After Dark. It was a ton of fun. A lot of great questions from patrons. We had a lot of laughs telling stories, answering the questions, weighing in on some movies that we've seen recently, things of that nature. A lot of fun. You can still get it now. You can watch the replay on Patreon. You can also download the audio-only file should you choose to experience it that way. But it is indeed a video show, folks. We do make both available, but it is a video show. But yes, patreon.com/wehatemovies, the Craven tier, alive and well. Also, be sure to keep your eyes peeled. Next month, we debut our new quarterly modern horror-centric video show. It's called Scaredy Cats. In the first episode up, we are talking about Zach Cregger's Barbarian. That's going to be a lot of fun. That'll be dropping later next month as well. Again, patreon.com/wehatemovies. And finally, don't forget, snag them ticks for our 15th anniversary show. We are going to be back at our hometown hideout, the Bell House in Brooklyn, New York, on Saturday, December the 6th. We are going to be talking about Total Recall, the Arnold Schwarzenegger version. It's going to be so much fun. We love the Bell House. We love playing there. It's always great to get a hometown show in. And it is a big milestone for us, y'all. A decade and a half on the air. And thanks to you all, no signs of stopping. So very cool event happening this December at the Bell House. Again, go to whmpodcast.com for the ticketing link. You can find it right there, ready to rock and roll to the ticketing portal for you. All right, that's it. Now we're going to talk about this alien film. Well, it's not an alien film. You know what I mean? The Predator, he's an alien. Anyway, here's the episode. Enjoy. Have a great week. This week on the program, it's a Predator film that has an 11th hour serial killer? What? Yeah, it's Nimrod Antal's Predators. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siskas.
Adrian Brody.
I mean, Chris Cabin. Sorry.
And we hate movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning into the fine program as always. That's right. This week, we're covering 2010's Predators, directed by Nimrod Antal. You may remember some directorial efforts. Control.
Good.
Good movie. Vacancy.
Pretty good.
Armored. This movie.
No.
Metallica Through the Never.
Oh, what? I've always wanted to see that.
It's really bad.
That's why I wanted to see it. It was also like 3D was part of the thing.
They go back and forth. There's a narrative.
It was like 2006. He's the only person that really wants to go to a Metallica show.
Is that what it is? I thought he was protesting like the World Trade Organization or something. No.
I mean, that might be what they're developing in part two of Through the Never.
Subtext.
I think it's like he's trying to, like, it's him getting to the Metallica concert or something, and I guess he has to go through the Never to get there.
I think he either gets kicked out or possibly he doesn't even get in at all, but he is just wandering a vacant city.
It's like a hellscape.
I bet his dad doesn't even understand him.
Oh, probably not.
Wait, one more, though, and then Retribution, the Liam Neeson sitting down in a car the whole time movie. That was his most recent output, and that's it.
That's too bad.
Meaning to see that one.
Apparently he's done, like, TV, did some Stranger Things episodes, so if you want... You want to go through the Never, then you're going to take a left at Forever, and if you see your grandmother, you went too far.
Sadly, it does, with Alien and Aliens, there was James Cameron with the dollar sign. Yeah. There was no dollar sign with this one. It was actually, if there was a negative way of putting that S, like put it upside down or something.
Sideways.
Yes.
It's okay to like a movie, but honestly, after watching this, I didn't like it when it came out, and watching it now, I'm like, holy shit, those AVP movies are like Oscar movies compared to this.
Yeah.
I would rather watch this than the AVP movies. I only watched this the first time. And also, by the way, this movie was 40, budget was 40, it made 120. I don't know about the marketing budget, but at least it seems like it made money.
Is that domestic?
No, it's worldwide.
Worldwide, that's trash.
It's not great, but it's not terrible. But it took, what, another like 8 years for that Shane Black one?
Yeah.
That's like 2018 or something.
Yeah, that took a while to get going.
And I realized, I think I've been saying this for a while in the lead up to this episode that, I watched like 10 minutes of this movie and greened out. No, I've never tried to watch this movie. It's the Rob...
Black one.
The Shane Black one I tried to watch with the kid and whatnot.
No,
also
he accidentally calls the Predator ship to Earth or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, actually, speaking of calling something, I'm going to hit play real quick.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Coming soon.
Oh, no, I'm being dropped out of an airplane. Where am I? I'm falling.
Just let it happen.
That's right. It's the return of the VHS trailer game. But more importantly, the return of the Game Master myself.
Oh,
it is America's favorite game about obsolete materials and what Hollywood legend Bruce Dern called...
I'm sure it's a game that four simpletons can play at one time.
That is right. We are four simpletons and we are going to play this game at one time.
I'm so terrified. This is like when Trump came back. He's out for retribution now.
Oh, absolutely. Uh-huh. Oh, and I've got the fucking Supreme Court in my pocket. Oh, no one can stop me now.
Here comes the Game Master stomping down the hallway.
Supreme Court and Supreme Pizza.
Excellent. Yeah, so pretty similar to how we've always done it. Every round, although every game now will have a fun bonus round, show you what that is.
Yeah, okay.
You'll understand what it is.
Bonus it up.
It better be fun.
And yeah, it's just basically I'm going to ask these guys, I'm going to give them five clues to figure out what the trailer's for. By the way, the VHS of the original Predator, obviously Predators, wasn't on VHS. So this Predator came out in 1987, so that's what we're talking about here.
1887.
Ooh, yes.
Fuck,
dude. Abe Lincoln loved this movie.
Dude, he was long dead.
Oh, right,
dude. John Wilkes Booth on the Predator planet?
Fuck yeah, dude.
He could be like the Japanese guy just using a fucking pistol against these usual
monsters. Here, I'm not a monster. Here, I'm just normal.
I'm just a normal man on this here planet of monsters.
Six semper Predators.
Nobody thinks I've destroyed the country.
That'd be perfect, like he's in Harvey Mudd or whatever's shack or barn, you know, just abduct him out of that.
Okay, so, five clues, two movies, 1987. Yes. Here we go. The first one.
Oh, no.
Okay.
And also, if you ring in for one and you get it wrong, you're out for that one hold around.
You're
round
silenced.
One. Got it. Game Master's Clue.
Ooh, like a warm bath.
You said it wrong.
This sequel, thank you. This sequel to the surprise comedy hit that defined a subculture ditches one of the protagonists from the first and who smartly didn't want to be typecast and sends our beleaguered misfits and their antagonists on vacation for some reason. Mouthful there.
Yes.
Sequel to a surprise comedy hit that defined a subculture. It ditches one of the protagonists from the first movie and sends our beleaguered misfits and their antagonists on vacation.
On vacation.
For some reason.
Are these antagonists were from the first movie as well?
So basically, everybody goes on vacation.
Everybody goes on vacation. 1988.
It's a surprise comedy hit that defined a subculture.
I'm going to be wrong. Weekend at Bernie's 2?
It is not Weekend at Bernie's 2.
They go on vacation, though.
They do,
They go to the Virgin Islands. That's right.
I think I know what it is now.
Oh, man, this is killing me. So 1988. God, I feel like it's like right on the tip of my tongue, but I'm going to vote to kick it.
The subculture thing's tough.
I'm like, singles, too?
Yeah.
All right, so round two, Tribune Trivia.
Okay.
Originally, Ted McGinley was going to reprise his role as Stan Gable for the film, but instead, Bradley Whitford was cast as central antagonist Roger. Andrew Drupin.
Revenge of the Nerds 2, Nerds in Paradise?
It is Nerds in Paradise.
That's what subtitle.
After I said it, that's what I was thinking.
Subculture.
Is that a subculture?
Yeah, the nerds. Yeah, they were the nerds.
Do you think those movies defined the nerds?
If you watch the movie American Splendor, it did.
Fair enough.
Got it. Okay.
All right. So now round two. Now this is a double points because I've never heard of this movie. That doesn't mean that it's super obscure.
Okay.
But I never heard of it.
All right.
Doesn't mean it wasn't playing on. It was definitely playing on WPAX when I was a kid, but I just probably don't remember those commercials.
But Chris owned four separate copies of it on tape.
Exactly.
Possible. So. It is possible.
Game Master's Clue. A John Hughes staple was matched with a now Oscar-winning multi-billion-dollar grossing actor in his first leading role. The title and trailer feel a lot grosser in light of the writer-director's subsequent legal troubles. So it's John Hughes staple, someone who's been in a lot of John Hughes movies, matched up with a now Oscar-winning multi-billion-dollar grossing actor in his first leading role.
Right.
Leading being there. He's been in movies before.
Uh-huh.
And Steve never heard of it.
The title and trailer feel a lot grosser in light of the writer and director's subsequent legal troubles. Writer/director. Same.
I'm fine kicking it.
Yeah, let's kick it. IMDb synopsis, a little different because you need a little help on this one.
Sure, right? Sure, sure.
A womanizer meets his match when he falls for a woman in debt to the mafia. So I do want to see this movie.
Okay.
Womanizer meets his match. John Hughes staple.
Yeah, God.
Helping it out.
Okay.
We're going to kick again, I think.
Kick it.
Yeah, I'm not
James Toback, that's the problem, wrote this film for Warren Beatty, who liked the script. And but was reluctant to play the character driven Chris Cabin.
The pickup artist?
It is the pickup artist. Yes. You get 6 points for that.
There it is.
With Robert Downey Jr. and Molly Ringwald, first billed, by the
actually,
way.
Actually, not a bad movie.
Okay.
It's a weird one. It's a weird one, but there's something to it.
That was
Toback, total scumbag.
Yeah. Absolute disgusting pick.
Yeah. Robert Downey's first movie?
His first leading role.
Leading role.
Yes, because he was it's tough turf and whatever.
Back to school.
And then I think, what do you call it there? Less than zero is the same year, but he was like the second lead there.
Yeah.
So here we go, lightning round.
Oh, boy.
Now, speaking of James Toback, the title of this episode is Predators.
Uh-huh.
So I wanted to look at Woody Allen movies since 2010.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
Woody's been in the news. He's voting Cuomo. He's sitting down with Bill Maher.
Oh, Woody's voting Cuomo?
He sure is.
By the way, I got to vote for the grabber.
Can gave him an award, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, they gave him an award.
So. When are we getting the invite to Club Random? Honestly. No,
dude.
I
smoke cigars.
You go ahead and you push that.
I would love to do that.
You go ahead and ask him. I bet you he would.
I got openings in February, Bill. Reach out.
Okay.
So this is the lightning round. It's Predators. So it's Woody Allen's. Basically, what we're going to do here, it's going to be a spelling bee kind of format.
Fuck.
Wherein it's only Woody Allen movies since January 1, 2010.
Okay.
Feature length films. From 2010 on.
Oh,
so basically the idea is we're going to start, I did a randomizer. We're going to start with Eric, then it's going to go to Chris, and then Andrew. You just have to name a Woody Allen movie. There are 11 of them.
Okay, all right.
Since 2010.
Okay.
Including 2010. Ooh. If you do guess 2009 back, you're out.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
So basically it's going to go around until everybody is out.
You know, I like this.
There's 11 of them. And I have a tiebreaker in case. And basically the way it's going to work for Philippe, who scores these, thank you, buddy, is every time we go through, it's 11. So like the first one, that's 1 point on the board, 2 points, 3 points, et cetera.
So everybody's just grabbing points.
Yeah, but not the person who wins, who gets it at the end, gets all the points.
Oh,
so,
I see.
So if we get to all 11 and
so Andrew, if Chris gets like two of them, but I get some and Eric gets
some. So we go around the horn a few times.
Yes, until whomever is left last gets all the points.
I see.
So it's just, you're going to be out. I will get you out.
Call on me.
So here we go. Just in any, it doesn't have to be in order. Just
Rifkin's Festival.
Rifkin's Festival is on the board.
A Rainy Day in New York.
Rainy Day in New York is correct.
2010, you say?
2010 and onward.
Wonder Wheel?
Wonder Wheel is on there.
Right under me.
Because he's so relevant. He's, you know, everybody knows what he's been up to in the last 20 years.
Uh-huh.
But he's made 11 movies, by the way, in 15 years.
I can't bring myself to vote for Mom Donnie.
And you could also obviously just punt and say you're out.
Unless socialists are the same.
There's two big ones on the board, by the way.
Match point?
Match point is not there. Earlier. Sorry, buddy. Eric is out.
Oh, God. I'm even not going to get this right.
He always says that before he gets 12 right in a row.
Magic in the Moonlight?
Magic in the Moonlight is on there, yep.
Ooh. Blue Jasmine.
Blue Jasmine is one of the big ones.
I just got one too in my mind, but it's, have
fun,
guys.
Oh, I should have been counting. I hope Philippe is.
It doesn't matter, dude. We know who's going to win.
Going to give you 5 seconds here.
That's fine. Yeah, I don't have it.
Okay, now back to Andrew. Now you got it. Do you got it?
Oh, there's one. Let's see. Oh, I got it.
Can I help him?
No, you cannot.
There was one that came out as a triptych. I believe it was all like centered in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck my face. It's It's right there on the tip of my tongue. There's a Case Stew segment, I believe, mm-hmm. with Jesse Eisenberg.
Sure. Alec Baldwin's in it.
Yep, yeah. They're all there.
Oh, man. Yeah, I definitely saw that one, too.
I mean, I think you won no matter what, because you are the last standing.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
But you don't get the one more extra point, which you could have gotten. So there you go.
Yeah, there it is.
That's Jerome with Love.
We missed Midnight in Paris. Yes.
Midnight in Paris.
Who would forget Irrational Man? That's or Cafe what I was trying Society? Question mark.
Or Cafe Society, I saw at a trade school. Back in the day.
Then Rifkin's festival, we said Coupe de Chance, I've never even heard of.
That's one of those non-released here.
And then movies. You Will Meet a Tall Dark Stranger was the 2010
the Brolin
film.
One. Yeah.
That's the Brolin one. Wait, so what was the other one you said, though? What was your last one? Because I thought that was the Brolin one.
The
Magic in the Moonlight?
Which one is that? Colin Firth and Emma Stone. He's a magician, but he's a fake. And like,
oh, yes. Okay. Yeah.
Could you make this child pornography disappear?
Abracadabra.
Oh no, I'm on a predator planet. I'm foiling and my glasses fell off.
I'm like, oh, magic, I still have it. It's still here.
Oh my God, Woody, Louis C.K.
That's predator planet, dude. You'll see all those
Toback fucking running around.
Those guys.
Wieners running from
Weinstein
aliens.
I heard cancel culture's over.
Oh no, it's back in a big bad way.
Well, for us, but yes. These are patriots you're naming. These are patriots.
Yeah, I'm a patriot.
Louis, why don't you take one for me? Come on.
Speaking of was Josh Brolin, like that was, he was apparently up for the role of Royce. God damn it, better movie in Predators.
Josh Brolin would have known the score of making Predators.
Yeah.
Because I think this is my opening thing with this movie, is Adrian Brody's too good of an actor for a movie like this, and he doesn't know how to dial back the actorial duties to be in a B sci-fi movie. And he's doing like serious, like Saving Private Ryan fucking monologues and whatever. And
not
I'm
needed.
Like, this is not for this movie.
No.
Well, I mean, Adrian Brody shouldn't be in a Predator movie, just like Arnold shouldn't be in a Wes Anderson movie. Those two things. Mm-hmm.
Wait,
you know,
a second.
I mean,
now I'm starting to think that'd be cool.
This is my adopted daughter, Margot Tenenbaum.
It's just one man's opinion. You know?
What do you mean I'm always in the center of the frame?
I cannot fit in this tiny submersible. Sorry, Mr. Zissou. You'll have to get a larger submersible.
My chest will reach all the sides of the screen.
I will hold my breath for as long as it takes, and I will hold on to the side of the submersible and go on the adventure with you.
Wow, look at that cartoon fish.
What's so different about paintbrushes in India, huh? What's the difference?
Yeah, I am the farmer going after all the cute little animal puppies. Yeah.
He could have been in Isle of Dogs, a big schnauzer.
Yeah. Oh, yes, sure, that's pretty true. Yeah, I'd like that.
I'm sure he would do it.
But, you know, just Adrian Brody, I think he's a really good to great actor. He's got two fucking Oscar
wins.
Sure,
And a total runtime of thank you speeches totaling 37 minutes,
I think. Like when he wins the Oscar, those are the good ones.
Yeah.
And then there's the other Adrian Brody movies.
We start with, I didn't remember seeing this at all. I guess I wasn't really watching many 20th Century Fox movies in 2010. This crazy 75th anniversary logo?
That's insane.
It's towering.
Yeah, it's weird looking. It's probably one of the worst anniversary openings I've seen.
It's
terrible.
That's kind of a weird one to celebrate in general. 75?
That's like, I don't think we're going to make it to 100.
Well, they
do. Celebrate 75.
They saw the fucking the merger coming.
That's almost as pathetic as having your 15th anniversary show at the Bell House in Brooklyn this December 6th.
Almost as pathetic, but
not quite.
The movie opens with Adrian Brody falling through the sky.
Which would be a brutalist way to die.
Oh, man, you got the brutalist joke out of the way. I got a couple. I'm gonna cross them all out.
No.
What was the crazy part of this movie when the Predator like goes to like growl at them and it was fucking... Yeah. They used AI because the actor couldn't get the Predator dialect.
Oh, right, of course.
And then we're giving him the Oscar for using AI because he wouldn't learn one line of Hungarian. Come on.
Predator's just trying to make a fucking community center in the middle of this goddamn jungle, and you keep on fucking with him. What's the fucking deal, man?
Seriously, and like that Predator didn't realize that the light would hit the book perfectly in that library that he was making.
Do you think he knew about the war on his planet? Do you think he knew that was all going to happen to him and
no
his
clue.
People?
He didn't know. He had no clue.
He had
also,
to get here.
Then the Predator takes you to that fucking marble mine in Italy or whatever that was, and things got weird.
They're all enormous.
The Predator at the end, it's now filmed on video, and he's being wheeled out by his niece.
Yeah.
He just loves Felicity Jones, okay?
He sees all the skulls that he's collected over the years. Nodding his head, crying a little bit. He's a little enfeebled.
70s Italian disco is still playing for some reason.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I don't think that the Predators do a lot. I would love to see an old Predator. I mean, I know we've been saying this for years. I just want to see other kinds of Predators and not just like the badass ones. Right. There's got to be an old.
You want like wrinkled Predator.
Yeah, exactly.
You want
Grandpa like, Predator.
He's got like a giant metal like sword and you're like, well, what's he going to use that for? And it's a walking cane.
That's the thing. For what exactly? Do you want it like the judge and old Predator shitting himself?
Yes.
Yes.
It's a shower.
Is this really what you
it's
need?
It's like
you
know, dark green shit he's wiping on the fucking wall. It's like the savages.
Because he's embarrassed, he turns himself invisible before he shits in the shower.
Totally. But then you see the fucking turns.
He's using his old one. It doesn't even work anymore. It just barely gives him cover.
I would turn myself invisible for every bathroom break.
Exactly.
Oh, totally.
And yeah. For showers too.
Dude, you can just go in public like, oh, you're not going to worry about the NYPD on the trains anymore. Suddenly there's just a stream of piss coming out of nowhere.
How about the beach? Are you leaving it on the beach?
I would be pissing and shitting on everyone at the beach.
Okay.
Oh, God almighty.
I meant the invisibility. Are you using it at the beach? Or are you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. What, am I going to take my shirt off?
That's crazy.
That's insane.
Here's the thing with this movie that opens, and you know, now with this new movie that's coming out, we again another World of Predators thing. And maybe I don't think they did this in Prey. If you're having all these predators now running around and whatever, mm-hmm. I need subtitles on the growling and the clicking.
Yeah,
to be talking to each other because they're not characters, but you're trying to. It's different than a xenomorph, yes. Right? You're trying to make these characters, they're humanoid, they have personalities, yes. But we don't ever understand them. And the larger role they take in these stories, I'm like, I got to hear what's going on.
I agree. I want like a sitcom kind of opening, like you pop, one predator pops into the other predator in the morning. And it's like, what are you doing this weekend? You going hunting? Yeah, you're going hunting.
God, I can't believe you showed up at my house before we went to work. This is ridiculous.
I had the worst date last night. The worst.
Hey, buddy, what do you got in the fridge? Any human trophies?
Got leftovers from Pacino's and an extra pepperoni last night. You want it? You got it.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the issue, I mean, because I think even later on, Lawrence Fishburne says, oh, there's a blood feud between the Predators.
Oh, what
the movie is that in?
Yep.
And then the other, I mean, I don't even know what this Predator did to be condemned to death or whatever.
Sure. Because as we're told, I think there's like, the way Lawrence Fishburne, I think, sort of lays this all out, he's like, yeah, they're all Predators. Mm-hmm. And yeah, if you boiled them, they might be pretty juicy.
Mm.
But it's like dogs and wolves.
Yeah.
And so we've got these like alpha guys, like that big dick dude, and 28 years later, there's like those guys.
Yeah. Sure.
And then like the little wiener predators. The little wiener predators is the one that we've seen in other movies.
Getting eugenics-y. I don't know about this.
Which, I mean, again, it'd be cool if we knew anything about their culture. Adrian Brody falls. It'd be kind of great if he just broke both his legs. He's like, I can't be in the movie. Shit.
That's definitely happened to several other people thrown onto this planet.
Well, these little matchstick legs, I thought he would have. My God. I'll severely miscast. I do like him as an actor, but good God, he does not work in this movie.
This is my favorite argument you have, is that he's not meaty enough for the role. Like
meaty?
Yeah, like he's not big enough.
Yeah, well, it's not just he's not big enough. He doesn't know how to do this role.
He's holding the gun.
He's
dropping through the jungle.
I can hold the gun. You want me to drop in the jungle?
Well, I mean, it's happening.
I don't think he's the worst part of the movie. The screenplay is the problem. Basically that... When Bart tries to, like, oh, he can't see the itchy and scratchy movie, he's like, well, I have the imagination of a 10-year-old boy. I could make them do what I want. And they're just standing there. That's what these people are doing. Like, it's a great setup. It's a cool idea. And then everyone just kind of stands there.
Yeah.
And then, like,
and the toughest guy is 80 pounds wet, soaking wet.
But they're all looking at each other like, do you want to start the movie?
Yes.
What about you? Want to pull the ripcord and start
the Russian
movie?
Does not want to start the movie. The Russian is not interested.
He's not Russian
Neither
to start
is
that movie.
Danny Trejo.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, Danny Trejo is the second one. He falls. He does have a future parachute, so maybe this is like the not so distant future. Next Sunday AD.
Yeah.
Shalana.
Yeah, no, I think it's supposed to be, right?
Okay, yeah.
Send them the worst predators we could find.
Or no, actually, because the Russian says something about fighting in Chechnya. That was 2009.
There's references to Afghanistan, is where someone was from or some
shit. So maybe he's got a predator parachute, how would he know?
Predators are outfitting them to drop them.
Yeah, they are predator parachutes, and they're presuming that they're going to understand how to open the... it's like, guys, if you want this fair fight, you're dropping all your little prey into your planet of killing.
Yeah.
You got to just set them down there, or at least have like a sign that's like, push me.
I want the fat roadie predator that's, all right, buddy, you're gonna lock you into the ring. Now, like, when you get down there, it's going to be 3-2, and then pull the chute. If you can't pull the chute, there is a second chute.
Wait, is this your first jump? I guess I'm going to have to come with you. And do you want a videotape of this?
The line is going to pull you, so you don't have to yank it that hard. It's going to do the work for you, so you don't worry.
I'm going to check this out, right? It's just $60. $60, you will get a tape of your jump, and we will put Rock You Like a Hurricane in it. It's going to be totally awesome.
Yeah, we'll send that and the footage of you being murdered to your family.
It's all about safety. Yes, until you do get on the planet, then you will be murdered immediately. But it's all about safety right now. You could
suggest some peace in the world. Like, we have gotten all of our... We've stopped putting them in prisons.
Yes.
So we start shipping them off to the alien planet a prison planet, really.
Yeah.
And getting rid of them a new and beautiful way. I like that.
Yeah,
it's
they call this planet New Australia.
But it's kind of cool. It's one of those things, like, is it cool or is it just unsatisfying? It's unsatisfying that we don't know how they got there and why they got there.
You know why Predator 1 was interesting? It was set on fucking Earth.
Yes.
And I understood, like, oh, there's like gorillas in the woods. There's other factions. There's things going on.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I have an idea of what real Earth is. This is a non-planet. I know it's kind of cool when we go up a hill and we see Saturns and shit flying around.
Yeah.
But other than that, there's nothing to contextualize this place. Besides, there's dogs, too.
The dogs suck.
Those are bad. You gotta give... I don't care that it's set on an alien planet, but you gotta tell me what's going on here.
And again, like, that's to your point, Andrew, about subtitles. Maybe Lawrence Fishburne's got all the answers because he's been... By the way, 2 days on Lawrence Fishburne, not a fucking surprise.
Yeah, no, you can fucking smell it, dude. Mm-hmm. He was really not here for more than 1.5 days. I mean, it's... he shows up 80 minutes into this movie.
Did you call me before The Matrix came out? You didn't. Well, fuck you, man. I would be doing that all the time.
I didn't realize it at the time, but that cartoon that came out recently on Hulu or whatever is kind of the same premise as this. I think it's done better, but the problem with that is I don't like the cryo sleep of making them all from different eras.
Like, why
at the
are
same
you
time?
Saving the contestants for like centuries?
Oh, that's a good one.
Save that for when my kids are grown up.
Freeze that Viking and, you know, for like 400 years. Yeah. Then we'll defrost her. She can fight this other dude. Like, that shit. And I didn't even realize it was like cryostasis at first. I was like, are you telling me like the predators are fucking time traveling now? Is that what's going on?
The American Depression predator is not good. I gotta tell you, he's a weakling.
You know, that's the thing, is a hungry Okie could probably take out a predator. There, you know, the Dust Bowl's going on.
It's true.
You know, they can't even get in to see Gone with the Wind or whatever the fuck was happening.
I bet you put Warren Oates against a predator, he's coming out on top.
Oh, definitely.
I think.
Cockfighter himself, I believe.
Great movie. Go watch Cockfighter instead.
Great film.
Much better film.
Everyone starts landing, right? This is like the start of a Twilight Zone. Nobody knows anybody, but we all start dropping. Danny Trejo drops down. Oleg Tartakov is this Nikola guy.
And they're all armed to the teeth, by the way.
Armed to the teeth. I do love that, like, Brody falls. Like, he gets his chute open a little bit, but still, like, falls through and just lands on his back. And then when he rolls over, he's just got this huge fucking god killer strap on him. And I was like, guys, I fell on my gun.
Ow.
Like, there has to be an owie, 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 owie.
Danny Trejo's got some guns. And then, and the other thing about this movie is it's so, like, obviously, because I think the order was Predator, Predator 2, both of those Alien versus Predator movies. This is, like, the newest, like, only Predator movie.
Yes.
So this is so slavishly referencing that first Predator.
Sure is.
Starting with
also,
the chain gun.
Like, Robert Rodriguez, God bless your heart, you made two movies that were good. he was, like, saying, like, oh, I'm not, like, all the there were such terrible sequels that I'm just basing this just on the first
one. This is a Halloween 2018 situation.
Yes.
We're not acknowledging any of the
sequels. Predator 2 is a better movie.
Oh, by leaps and bounds.
Definitely. It's a good ass movie.
I mean, like, that's the thing, is it just sort of like
And also, but you were going to reference Predator 2 because both fucking Arnold and Danny Glover were supposed to be in this movie.
Yes.
And they canceled that idea. So like did want to get a taste of Predator 2 in there. Come on.
Cynical and bad, but better. It would have added flavor that is much needed. Instead, Lawrence Fishburne's character was just rewritten as one of them, right?
Oh, yeah, probably.
You found Dutch. He's like been brought there too. There, or something.
He's like living there forever. Yeah.
I'm imagining Danny Glover and Arnold Schwarzenegger had their cameo on the same day, and they're like, "Let's get lunch beforehand," and then they're just having lunch and having a really good time. It's like, do you want to do this? I don't want to. They're just kind of like, let's get another round of drinks instead.
Hey, Danny, let me ask you something really quickly. Do you think this idea sucks? Yeah, I think it sucks bad.
Do we need, we don't need the money, do we? No, what? You know what? One more Bloody Mary. Then we get on the plane back home.
Robert Rodriguez fucking pokes his head in the room. Guys, we're ready for, guys, the plane's fucking taking off.
I mean, adding that those cameos would undercut those movies because like at the end, there's a, especially in the second one, there's a respect from the Predators to someone who could beat them.
Mm-hmm.
And they let him go, and they give him that old-timey gun.
Oh, that's right. Danny Glover in his tight khakis.
He gets a prize at the end, which is pretty cool.
It's awesome. That's cool, yeah.
Put it up on my wall afterwards.
Also, that's Arnold, a weird alternate future, right?
Yes, it is.
It is, yeah.
Arnold, what if we just got smashed on Tom Collins instead?
Now you're speaking my language.
I don't drink drinks that are named after men. Sorry, Danny. That's a little gay.
All right, Tom Collins for me. Whiskey soda for you.
Yeah, that sounds like a good non-gay drink name.
Sorry, Robert, we're getting smashed. You'll have to do the movie without us. A straight gin and tonic for me, please.
It's called Tom Collins, and it has got this like white liquid. I don't know. Who did someone come in there?
Coming is terrific. But yeah,
I'm coming at the gym. I'm coming in my Tom Collins.
The Russian guy's got the chain gun, much like Jesse the Body Ventura. Uh-huh. By the way,
hey, remember that?
I do. There's a lot of remember that in this movie. And Brody is pretty, I mean, he's doing this like Clint Eastwood kind of
sucks
guy.
His voice
tough
sucks.
Guy shit. Yeah.
He's like, could you please stop doing that?
Yeah,
if we weren't on the same side, I wouldn't be talking to you right now.
And he's like the best badass to ever exist. You don't know anything about him, anything at all.
At the end when he gives his name, it's like, I'm Royce. I'm like, who gives a shit?
Oh, you're Royce? I'm putting my coat on. I don't give a shit.
At least like Nikolai is like looking at photos of his family and stuff. Uh-huh. Contextualize your fucking character.
The Russian is like the only one with any kind of real backstory.
Just make him the lead then.
This dude's kind of good. I've liked him in things before.
Oleg, what's his name? Yeah.
Tartikoff or something like that. Yeah.
Alice Braga
drops. Oleg to stand on. Standoff of.
Huh?
I'm making a
workshop rush.
Keep going.
I'll be back next week.
We'll do a lightning round. No, so Oleg, Alice Braga drops down. Alice Braga, previous Robert Rodriguez We Hate Movies episode, Hypnotic.
Absolutely. Oh, wow.
That's an awful movie.
I'll tell you.
I'll watch that over this.
No, I kind of agree. That movie's silly. It's kind of fun.
I'm not going to agree with you people on that.
That's fine. That's not listening. Listen, everyone listening to this loves this movie, I guarantee you.
You think so?
And it's okay to like a movie, by the
way. Sure it is. That's what I've been told. So she comes in, and she's got a great line that reminds me of if not my favorite line in The Godfather, and sort of transposes it here, where she just goes, I've never seen a jungle like this, and I've seen them all.
I've seen all the jungles. Like,
what are you? Yeah. Okay. You've been here for 5 minutes.
Okay, we just put her on the pay no mind list. Now, let's all talk about what's going on here, other than her.
Dumbest. I was like, you've seen all the jungle?
Clearly have not, madam, please.
Well, they're known for, they say that she's IDF, and they're known for attacking every country on the planet. So maybe she has. I don't know.
That's fair.
Also bizarre that she's a Brazilian actress. Like, why?
Why?
If maybe she was written as IDF, but like, oh, Alice Braga's going to do it. She's just a Brazilian mercenary or whatever.
Because it ultimately doesn't matter because Adrian Brody goes, oh, by the look of your gun, you're IDF, huh? And like, she doesn't even say anything.
Yeah, so
like,
you don't even know. By the way, this gun with it's got like a universal remote on top of it. I don't know what this.
You can kill somebody and reprogram your VCR at the same time. Yeah. Really smart thinking here. Dude, it is a cheap prop. I think you're right. I think someone, like, the prop department had, like, a fake gun, and then they took literally, like, a TiVo remote and fucking glued it to the top of this thing.
I would rather him say, like, oh, you're one of Gaddafi's bodyguards, yes. Lady bodyguards.
You're the one that put the sword up his ass. Okay. You're one of the toughest ones.
Can I get your autograph, please?
Holy shit, sword gal.
I mean, from, like, the 70s till this second in time, it was super cool to be an IDF sniper. Yes. Remember, Dr. Ruth was apparently one.
That's right.
I don't think she was a sniper.
Yes, apparently.
I think she was.
Wow.
She was murking. Well,
you're a sniper, dude. She's hiding in little crow's nests and whatnot.
The tiniest crow's nest.
The littlest sniper.
But yeah,
she was playing with herself the whole time.
And then we've got this the Japanese Yakuza dude, the Yakuza guy drops in here.
Classic Homer Simpson. That guy's gonna do something cool. I mean, like,
yeah. And he does, I guess, at the end.
But when he finally talks to Topher Grace, we'll talk at length about. The movie's almost over, and Topher Grace is like, "Wow, you could speak English. You could speak." And I'm like, "Could anyone have a conversation in this movie?" And like,
nope.
Just be like, "What were you like?" Because even like, you know, later Walton Goggins, all these people, like, just give me like the two sentence bio of them.
Because it's supposed to be a mystery, right? It's supposed to. But like, I don't really feel, because you are doing all the brawny action shit as well on a very like low level, that shit is completely watering down the mystery. Like, I don't feel the pull of the mystery at all because you keep on doing this shit. Yeah. And it's so weak sauce.
Watering down a mystery.
It is a little bit.
You can't. The thing is like, it's an overarching mystery of why they're there and what this planet is. And then it's just like, and then every character is also a mystery. It's too many mysteries.
It is. And it also is the mystery is solved by the synopsis, which you know because you have a ticket.
Yeah. Exactly.
And you've seen the first Predator movie, clearly.
But like, tell me what Walton Goggins is even in for.
Yes. They're giving Walton Goggins, he's like a light version of the Steve Buscemi Con Air character. Yes. It's like they allude to him being like super fucked up.
He reminded me of the same character, not that character, but another character from Con Air, Johnny 27 or whatever.
That's Danny Trejo, actually.
Oh, the rape.
Yes.
Oh,
you're
going to
be one more on my whatever. No, yes. And
because all he talks about raping.
It's all the live long day.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, like, it just Walton Goggins, great actor. I mean, obviously, like, really early in his career. Mahershala Ali, also great actor, really early in his career.
Yep.
And they're like fighting each other, and they've got nothing to do. Like,
come on, you motherfucker! Come on, you motherfucker!
He's not doing the hee-haw accent, by the way, Goggins. It's very odd to just hear him.
Because he was cast as Boyd Crowder the same year, so I feel like he wanted to differentiate.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I was kind of putting on a little bit. His Boyd Crowder accent is really wild, but it's also weird because this is like, you know, 15 years old already. Yeah. He on White Lotus, you know, his most recent thing that I've seen, like he just already sounds completely different. Mm-hmm. Like, see episodes of We Hate Movies from 15 years ago.
Oh, totally.
But it's kind of a nice, like, bit of camaraderie I felt with Walton Goggins. I was like, he sounds like a little kid, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're saying our voices have changed?
Oh, yeah, big time.
Not at all.
Big time. No, you sound like fucking twice run over gravel now. So do I.
I sound and look like shit.
They're fighting. Mahershala Ali as Bombasa, by the way. And this is some more, we're just kind of changing little things from the first one. The first one, you got that Native American dude. Yes. He's like the guy who's one with the jungle. And now later, Mahershala will be staring and he's seeing the predator in the tree and doing the whole like one with the environs kind of deal.
We didn't love that first movie because of the jungle. That wasn't the thing that got me rewatching that movie every day as a kid. It wasn't the jungle.
It would have been kind of cool if you took this little less jungle, more sci-fi, and it's kind of more of like a Hunger Games thing.
Yeah.
And you can realize like there's the arena. Cause like,
that's what they do in that cartoon.
Oh, yeah. Cause, well, because Larry Fishburne's got that line where he's like, "What I used to try to walk out and see if I could walk to the end of the preserve, but the preserve doesn't end," or whatever. And I guess you're supposed to take that as like, it's not an arena. Like, the whole planet is the arena.
That was like, don't think about it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like,
that's the biggest, most interesting part of your movie. Yeah.
That's also just excusing away. Come on now. Lawrence Fishburne got lazy. He walked for 2 days.
Yes.
That's enough of that.
There's I'm no going end home. To this planet.
This place doesn't stop. It goes on forever.
I mean, you set up something like that. I need like a Truman Show kind of ending where like Adrian Brody touches the, you know, the force field or whatever.
Yeah, and then you cut to like all these predator families at home.
just little baby predator in the bath.
One's got a bone at Sarah. She has the girl. And then they're watching the whole like Running Man type of thing.
Well, let's see if Predator Cheers is on.
Predator Cheers is filmed before a live studio audience that was later hunted.
How you doing, Growl?
Been hunting predator dogs all day, and boy, are my dogs barking.
And then John Ratzenberger's just there as well. Same guy.
Hey, Growly.
They put a tooth coming out my mouth, so now I got a big fang.
Hey, Growly, you rip out any spines and skulls lately, eh? We are best friends, that's right.
Sorry, Mr. Growly, we can't accept polished skulls anymore for currency.
Serve me, you brain dead hick.
Jesus, what do you mean that a Tom Collins is gay?
it's
a great fucking drink. What are you talking about?
No, I'm just thinking about someone throwing down a xenomorph skull into the guy, the bartender. I can't make change for that.
You want to buy the bar? Is that what you're doing here?
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Yeah, I may own the place, but I don't drink anyway. There's coffee for me.
Yeah, I was a predator. I blew my knee out. Now I got to run a bar. All right. No, you know, this is no good. We're going to go to a predator married with children.
So we're all meeting each other, whatever. Topher Grace, we meet. He's stuck hanging upside down in a tree the exact Topher Grace thing.
I'm not a big fan of Topher Grace's movie work or work really in general. I don't have any ill will against the guy personally. I don't know him. It's just like so much of this movie, someone somewhere was like, it's the Topher. And then when the Topher Grace twist happens, the audience is going to be like, holy shit.
Which is so insane because this movie came out in 2010. Yes. This dude's waving Crescent. He was already fucking editing Star Wars movies in his free time.
Yes, which he did better than this. It's just a boring performance. It was reminding me of Flight Risk that he was in, where it's...
Which movie is that?
That's the one from this year, the...
With Mark Wahlberg, directed by Mel Gibson.
He's wearing he's bald or whatever in that movie.
Mark Wahlberg is, but it's just, it's Topher Grace with glasses, and he's playing a regular guy.
That's the thing, is when... The thing with Topher Grace is, when you put him in a movie and you're like, he's a normal guy, I know he's not.
Yeah.
I immediately know he's not. Right. I know you're just waiting to drop something about this guy that I'm sure is going to change the whole thing.
But you got... If you're going to do that in this movie, you got to do that with more than 6 minutes
early
left.
On. You have to do that pretty early on.
They're like, well, what are we going to do? Adrian Brody's kind of like the... I guess he's like, I'm going this way. And they're like, well, he's like, if you want to follow me, you can follow me.
Great.
Adrian Brody.
Can't wait to watch this character for a whole movie.
I will say, Topher Grace clearly can spot a mark, though. God bless him. Because Nikolai is about to make out with a poisonous plant. And he is like, no, don't try to eat it. It's a poisonous plant. And then Nikolai is like, I protect you from now on.
You are my twink now. I protect twink. I protect.
I smack bottom, you leap.
Yes. I put my hand in your pocket, yes? You know what that means.
There's a weird moment here. Again, like you're trying to add some mystery to it. Alice Bragg is like, Adrian Brody, you want to see something fucked up?
Oh, yeah.
And she puts a leaf in the water and it just like keeps spinning around in a circle.
Well, that's not good.
Like, yeah, that is not good. And I would like to learn more about that at some point in the movie.
No.
But it's just like we're elsewhere, you know.
And like basically,
the toilet flushes this way.
Sweet land of liberty.
But like, if they're walking, it can just be like Walton Goggins. Like, yeah, man, I was in the electric chair and then I blacked out and I woke up here. Like, you know what I mean? Like, some.
That would be a little more possessed. Instead, it's I was 2 days away from execution.
Okay.
And
then,
yeah.
So then, like.
The alien ships came. Yeah, and
did they do a prison break?
Yes, they exactly.
They apparently did.
No. This is for Walton Goggins. It's a cake, and there's definitely not a file in it.
Not a three-lasered file.
I would like to do a conjugal visit, please, with Walter.
Walton, we have more cake in the ship. Come to the ship. There's more cake.
Yeah, the record said that an old lady in a pink nightgown and nightcap and big glasses showed up with a huge cake for him. Oh, but it looked like a hulking monster.
She was 6'9". I don't know why.
Yeah, and here's a poster of Raquel Welch for his show. No reason. Get busy living and get busy hunting, Predator.
I don't, and like, that question amongst all, and I guess maybe that's why the dialogue doesn't go too deep, because none of this makes sense. So like, yes. What we find out later, or at the end of the movie, the big twist is that, I guess, Topher Grace, who just seems like a really nice doctor guy, a serial killer.
Yes. Yeah. But so, doesn't even do any doctoring. Like, that, a combat medic would be fun in this scenario.
He doesn't do any doctoring. He almost does some serial killing. But, like, is the Predator, like, reading the news? Or, like, oh, the Ripper strikes again. We're going to find this
guy. You know what? I love that show, Dexter. We should get one of those next year. All right. Hey, Larry, get over here. You see this? BTK. Now, this is a guy. Listen to this. He's a big fat guy, you see, right? A big middle-aged fat guy. Ties him up, you see. Finds him. Then he tortures him. Then he kills him. I think this guy would be good for next season's murder plan.
We're not doing the Dexter plan ever again. We went there with Larry, and Larry moved to Miami indefinitely. I don't get it. Well, yes, it's nice. The weather's nice, but come on, we have things to do.
Because it's like a bunch of soldiers in the midst of war fits for Predator, obviously. Like, they sure, just snatch him out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, there's a war. I'm a Predator. I know where war is.
Right, yeah.
And they get him. But, like, yes. So when they go in, like, he's like, oh, I've got a wife and kids. So, like, his suburban house, they're like, all right, we'll wait in the garage and put a bag over his head. But we know he's a serial killer. Like that great movie, Trap. Oh, I love that movie. Yeah, it's really good.
Can we stay in his house and get and jack his HBO Max for a little while? I would just like to get on what has been, you know, really good at the movies lately.
He's 40, so he wakes up to pee around 3 a.m. You got to just stay here till that we grab him. The family won't know.
You're going to have the new Mission Impossible next week. Let's stay. Let's stay for 5 days.
Yeah, I need to know, like, if you showed it in flashback, all of their abductions, yes, right? Because the Walton Goggins one is the biggest mystery. Yes. Like, you know, was there a huge explosion at the jail when he was pulled out? Like, you know, how did they break him out of jail? I want to see
that. I want to see maybe the governor has an arrangement with the Predators.
I would hope so. You know,
like, funneling contestants right from the penitentiary out to the prison planet.
I don't know. We got another pardon. Oh, yeah, then he went missing.
No, she runs on it. No, I am hard on crime. I send our worst of the worst to the Predator planet. Yes. Send him to the Predator planet.
And as I'm doing that, I'm getting rid of the jail. And that's right, getting rid of more jobs. Yeah, fuck you, jobs.
That's actually a good point. Like, we're sending all these people to these other countries' prisons. Why don't you hire a few people here to hit people with clubs?
Yeah, come on now.
So we come across, like, this big shipping container. They realize there's, like, a sea of shipping containers stuck in trees. Oh, they've been dumping things down here other than, you know, human-sized people, what are in these crates or whatever. And then they set off this massive forest booby trap, Arnold-style right
here. Very Arnold-style. And this is a guy who has since died a long time ago. He was, like, I guess he, like, I don't know, died of starvation or something. I forget how
he's got a Predator blast.
Oh, like, they went through his traps and they're like, fuck that noise. Yeah.
They got around him and shot this guy in the gut. The movie makes it look like a fucking chest burster, which is.
That's right.
Think you're really smart, don't you? Oh, you think you're the first person to put a bunch of spears on a wooden plank?
Sharp branches, huh? Okay. They're not sending their best.
Ooh, a big log. Whoa.
This is also like the amount of leaps that Adrian Brody and Alice Braga's characters make in this movie. He's like, well, that's a big deadfall. And usually these guys must be massive because the rule about deadfalls, you understand?
The rule, of course.
Yeah, it's like, it's got to be at least 6 times as large as the prey you're putting it under.
Of course.
So therefore, and I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, see, that is just, I don't need that trap ever explained to me in a movie. It's just a big log swinging on something.
The problem with Brody is he doesn't have any pizzazz. There's no comedy swing to his performance. There's nothing. There's no swagger to it.
You have to be taking this for a walk you're making the fucking fifth movie with a predator
in it. It's a B movie. Like, let it be a B movie. Exactly. Get Jerry Seinfeld as a bee in it, for example.
Oh, that's the most deadly bee.
Does he get exploded? Then yes.
Well, that would be funny. In the earlier predator outings, like, they don't get humans. All right, We tried domestic cat. That didn't take very long. We tried a bee. That was hard to just even see it, honestly.
The bee was kind of a waste of time. We all had fun, like, oh, we're going to hunt a bee. But we know it was stupid. A
couple of years ago, and this is on me, honestly. I should have thought this beforehand. But we got the entire cast of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. And we put them on here. They were done within an hour. They were all gone within an hour. They didn't even want the fucking videotape of this shit. They were not interested.
Yeah, and you know, again, if we're admitting mistakes here, fault on my part. I really, really thought that guy was Bear Grylls, but he was just some guy. And it took 2 seconds. We get our first instance of predator vision somewhere around here. This is where Mahershala is just like staring into the fucking forest, and then the predator is looking back, doing the audio recording and repeating it back and sounding cool.
And it's fine.
You got it.
Good luck.
And then the predator. This is the
credit
predator.
Credit card, you got it.
Predator card? That's dumb. Sorry.
Oh, boy.
The predator dogs show up here. They're stupid as sin. Yeah.
This is dumb. This would be like, if you were playing Predators the video game, this would be like, oh, these fucking things again.
And it's like they didn't want to, they wanted to make this like a direct sequel to Predator and not part of the AVP franchise. But a xenomorph would make more sense than giving me warthogs
but
that
then
are vaguely
the dogs of the Predator. That doesn't make much sense.
You know
sense.
What? This whole movie don't make no sense, Chris.
Hey, Suge, this movie don't make no sense.
Princess Bobbit, no, it don't make no sense. Girl, sit down. Your movie don't make no sense, child. Ooh, shit, child, your movie's dumb.
Dude, better movie if there's a ghost door in this.
Yeah. Sure. No, that I'll take. That one I will take.
We're going to take, we're dropping the ghosts down now. Yeah, there was the one season. Again, this was a total waste of time, but we transplanted the entire Warren Spooky Museum to the prison planet. And I didn't know at the time that those people were full of shit. We were just fucking shooting the shit out of household items thinking they were haunted.
I thought the old guy from Poltergeist 2 would have put up more of a fight.
Now watch out, though. But when you get close to it, though, you will start talking like this, child. And you can't stop it then, child.
I'm Grandma Predator, child. Shit, it's a whole encampment of predators talking like Zelda Rubinstein.
Well, to your point, like, if these predators could talk, and maybe that would maybe, you know, maybe they give them all ear pods or AirPods that can translate.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes, thank you. Yes. Like, you see the predator, it puts like a, you know what? Put a collar on him, and the collar's got speakers.
Ooh, give him beats.
Translate.
No, give him beats. Come on, get
or like Hunger Games announcements. You know, you got a Caesar Predator Lopolis,
also still played by Stanley Tucci,
exactly with purple dreadlocks. And he's introducing this whole thing.
He's sexily cutting up tomatoes because he's making some bruschetta later.
Exactly. Welcome to the Predator game.
And later, I'll show you the proper vermouth for your cocktail.
And let me talk to everybody when I say. Rah, rah, rah.
But the predator dogs or whatever. I mean, like, the problem also, there's seven of them. There's seven, like, bad dudes or, you know, our lead character. They should be fighting. Like, Marshall Ali and Walton Goggins fight for a second. That gets put down. One should definitely kill somebody else. Somebody should definitely, be killing them. Be like, if I'm the last one alive, like, you get that guy going. And maybe one of these dogs gets a really cool kill. Because, again, like, the kills aren't that great in this movie. Like, again, the setup is kind of cool.
Yeah. Yes.
The first big, death, right? So, we have this big, all these wildebeest things. It looks like Brotherhood of the Wolf Monster, funny enough.
Yeah.
We kill all these things or whatever, and then I think Alice Bragg is like, wait, there's only seven of us. Where is, Danny Trejo's missing. Yes. And, we don't see what happened to Danny Trejo. Yeah.
Crazy.
And it's a cool, the predator is clearly killed him already, put him down, and there's a force field around him, and we're using Danny Trejo's voice recording to be like, help me, or whatever.
That's fun. That's fun.
Oh, no, he turned him into an answering machine.
Danny Trejo isn't at home.
I remembered, because it was driving me nuts. Like, this is from something else. This reminds me so much of something else. It's like, help me. Like, just the monster putting it back.
Yep.
It is, Independence Day.
Yes, it is.
Well, release me.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
No peace. No peace.
Yes. Like, yeah. That's a cooler, and that it's the same fucking thing. And it's like you can only see the back of him. It's an effective, like, creepy moment.
But here's the thing: I'm waiting the whole time for someone to do the shoot him to see if he's
yeah.
still alive thing.
Yeah.
And it takes way too long. Alice Braga finally does it, but I was like, you need to do that before the end of the scene, and everybody's already left except for her to do this. Like,
yes.
You got to, like, hit that dude in the shoulder. Like, I'm going to check and see if he's still, you know, whatever.
Well, no, she kills him. She's trying to kill him because it's like, we're leaving him. And she's like, I can't leave him a man behind. So she just shoots him.
Is that what
she shoots him? Because
it's like the back shoulder or yes. something, though. I don't
and
know.
And then he just slumps over.
For her,
right? And then
shoot
he says,
in the back.
He's like, help me again. It's like, oh, no, it was a trap. Mm.
Yeah.
But Brody in this moment.
Don't leave me like this, Neil. Neil, don't leave me like this.
He starts going off about, like, we're being hunted, this, that, and the other thing. And, like, I expected somewhere in this movie it to be revealed, like, he's done this before. He knows what predators
yes.
are. I've seen this happen before. But he's just a mercenary that may or may not, I'm saying may, have participated in a previous hunting humans for sport activity.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Because he has it now, we're the prey, and
well,
I got to figure out
how we're
doing
something. He said he was apprehended in Baja, so I was like, was Dylan McKay surfing behind you?
Like, also, but those hard target fellas, they need a guide every time
yes,
they do those
exactly.
things. They can't just be doing that themselves. They need somebody around with them.
That's true, yeah.
Before this, we actually got a scene with Braga was going to shoot herself in the head.
Yes.
So they call yep. the dogs off.
Oh, right.
Because Topher Grace can't take the murdering serial
yes,
killer. Is
you.
Like, no.
Yeah, why is that? Like, he's like upset that she's about to commit suicide.
I could have killed you. Because
we're setting up the twist, I guess. Because
exactly.
we're making him
we're
seem
lying
like he's
to,
not.
We're
yeah.
lying to
we're
the
lying
audience.
Lying to the audience.
Yep.
Yes.
Because
exactly.
it doesn't make any sense that he'd be like, no. Like,
but the predators also don't attack people that aren't armed, right? We've learned. So, I mean, so if they're going to kill themselves, they don't want them to. And then. If Topher Grace
oh, well,
just...
now you're making it no fun for me. Well, come on. No, don't do that.
And I guess Topher Grace does adhere to that. There's that scene later where he's running in the woods and they're actually shooting at the guy behind him, this other alien. So I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense. The Chris, you did, had a good heat quote, and I'm just thinking, are these predators good? These predators are good. Okay, motherfucker!
Oh, is that Wayne Grove parachuting?
What are we looking? What are they looking at? The Earth Predators. They're looking at the Earth Predators. Hi,
because she had a big ass, and dreadlocks were all over it.
I had coffee with Growly half an hour ago.
Just
growly.
Because I wanted to do it.
Sure,
yeah.
But better movie.
The better, and like we get to the predator. Again, we still have not seen a fucking predator. It's been 30 some odd minutes.
No, plenty of predator vision, but that's it.
And it's like, again, like in the first movie, it was cool because we didn't know what the fuck the thing was going
yes,
on. It's,
yes.
See, it's the third.
You can't,
it's,
exactly.
It's actually, let's be honest. It's the fucking fourth one. You know what I mean? Like, or it's the fifth one.
It's the fifth, yeah. yeah.
It's
the fifth movie with a predator in it.
So, like, we can reveal them early.
Exactly. Yeah.
Predator 1 and 2, it's interesting when people are doing something and then there's a predator. This is people milling around being like, what's going on? Oh, a predator.
So they come across basically the Bone Temple, by the way.
Yeah,
like this predator encampment, skulls all over the place. You got Mahershala, dude, and he's just given these lines. He's like, in my homeland, who has the most trophies is the man with the most power. As he's looking at fucking bleached skulls on the ground.
And I mean, like, you have to play the game because of the second movie. You gotta be like, ooh, what kind of skull's gonna be there? Ooh, is Alf's skull there? Watto's skull?
Dude,
ooh.
Alf's skull would have been awesome.
Yo!
My wife and children.
That was
taken from me by the predator.
When we threw the domestic cats down, we threw a few Alfs.
See if the Alfs could scare them out there for us.
We sent a letter to the one that lives with the humans. He'll know what happened.
And then we brought his old friend that smoked crack a lot.
The father?
Yeah, the father. The father from the show, you understand.
Alf, I think we're on a predator planet.
Your eyes are a little red.
I hope they take you first.
It just, and like, but this predator.
Well, it's a ripped Hawaiian shirt. Did they get Alf?
No.
Is it Alf or Dennis Nedry?
But the, I mean, like, the predator that's tied up. cool idea, but what? And then later with Adrian Brody's like, you take me home? And he's like, take me home, Brooklyn, 118 Prospect Avenue.
Uber. If you get me home, I will give you a really cool all red and white Adidas tracksuit, okay?
South block, 7 blocks south of the park.
I can't go over the bridge at this hour.
Plus, that tracksuit would never fit me. Look at you.
Go the lower route, not the top. That is the blocked way.
You know, you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to deny someone passage. By the way, what's your number?
What's your predator number? He'll lose his predator medallion. It doesn't. It's a cool idea, but like we get a little bit of like the blood feud from Fishburne, but it never. And they fight each other because it's cool to watch two predators fight. Sure, but
here's what it has to be: if this predator that they've crucified or whatever is going on here, if he's like the beta to like the big dick alpha ones or whatever. This is where the subtitles would come in handy because they could kind of maybe figure out a way that the predator could be on their side.
Sure.
And then you've got this group of like hunters going through like these people, but the predator is on their team.
And you know, and if we have to talk about the events of the first film with Dutch and everything and how he defeated a predator, maybe the predator could tell us instead of the IDF, who I guess has every classified file from the USS.
Dude, yeah, wherever that happens in this movie where Alice Braga is like, something, my boss told me about this guy who was on this mission in Guatemala, which, if I remember Predator correctly, isn't it a fake country that they're in?
That's Commando, I think.
Oh, Commando's?
Yeah. Verde.
Oh, that's maybe what I'm
but
thinking.
But, you know, I honestly don't remember exactly.
I thought Predator, they were also dropped into a fake place. But I guess, it could be Guatemala. She says it was Guatemala in this movie.
I think they filmed it outside of Puerto Vallarta, Mexico.
And she's just like, oh, they were big. They could be invisible. And they could do this. And they used infrared vision. He covered himself in mud.
As soon as she says the mud thing, I was like, Adrian Brody will have his shirt off covered in mud at the end of this movie.
Boy,
was I right.
By the way, apparently 60% of this film was shot in Texas for the tax credit.
Oh, hey. Nice.
That's why it's just, and then the 40% in Hawaii for the jungle or whatever.
Sure.
Also, because it's Hawaii.
Yeah, it's nice.
Nice to be there.
Nice place.
Nice little trip.
Hey, I was always hey, Danny, let's go to a luau instead. Let's not even bother with it. Let's go back to the resort and we'll go to a luau.
You'll be able to eat an entire pig together.
You give them $30,000. I'll give them $30,000. We'll be co-producers.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
But so, like, they're like, whoa, cool predator thing. And then all of a sudden, by the way, these predators, at least in the IMDb and other places, are named.
They're not.
Falconer, Tracker, and I like who this. Gives a shit?
Is the that? One tied up is known as Classic Predator.
Ooh,
predator.
Oh,
Classic Predator.
Yeah, and I saw it. I was like, this is the first appearance of Classic Predator since the 1987 film.
Hey, Classy, get over here. I'm going to give you a noogie, fucking Classy. Yeah, that's right. That's Falcon. You talk to Falcon the way he wants to be talked to.
Ooh, yeah. New thing you can buy in the Predator game. It's a little downloadable content here. Classy. For $9.99, you get the Classy skin.
We're saying classic, but not classy, but I like Classy better because he has a monocle.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. He's well-read.
We want what you want, civilization.
He can tell you all the post-2010 Woody Allen movies.
That would be actually kind
of... I saw Rifkin's Festival multiple times.
Hosted a screening at a coffee shop secretly in my hometown.
And actually, to be honest, I do believe the allegations, but I still watch them.
Oh, wow. So I'm the only Wallace Shawn completist out there. Oh, wow.
Oh, okay, fine. Yeah, I'm the only predator on this prison planet that can separate the art from the artist. Okay, fine. Whatever.
Fine.
I don't...
Fucking bullshit.
If he could... Like, maybe that's why he's trying to... I learned how to talk. You know what I mean? I mean, that's the worst movie, but...
I tried to better myself, and they chose to destroy me.
I learned English to sign the Roman Polanski letter of solidarity.
I just respect David Lynch and Martin Scorsese so much. I had to be on there, too.
Oh, man.
Favorite Predator's got, like, a drone here that, like...
This is pretty cool.
The first death is Mahershala. I mean,
Oh.
Danny Trejo, we see, is dead first, but, you know.
off-screen.
It's an off-screen kill.
This one is like kind of, I don't know, it's okay. It's very Mortal Kombat.
Oh, right, yeah, he holds him up, like he impales him with a gauntlet thing.
Yes, but it's interesting you said Mortal Kombat, though, because the vibe is definitely how I feel with these newer Mortal Kombat games where I'm like, I don't need a 15-second fatality. Yeah. I'll tell you right now. Like, you some of these newer Mortal Kombat things, you can do these moves, and I'm like, he just keeps killing this guy. Yeah. And that's what this, I was like, this is overkill of this guy, big time. Your first on-screen death, and it's fucking horrifying.
Yeah.
It's also the only black character up to now. So,
they're following horror movie rules.
Exactly.
So that causes like a big shootout right here. Dude, this is the funniest thing is all these guys have big god killer guns. Yeah. The fucking Yakuza dude is just this little pistol. Pew, pew. Come on, Predator. Pew, pew. Waste of time.
And like, I guess they're all right. Well, prison guy, I guess whatever you have on you. So prison guy doesn't, you know, Walton Goggins has a shiv.
He's got,
And it's kind of funny. Okay, like, give me a fucking gun, man. You got so many guns. Give me a fucking gun.
Oh, right. That's kind of a good scene.
But it's like, it's a cool. They narrowly escape, and this is when I think Adrian Brody gets in trouble because they're like, you let us as bait there, and you're using a lot of this shit of like, aren't we a team? And of course not. You all hate each other.
Come on.
Every man,
no,
how many times in this movie do we have to have the same conversation that we're all out for each other?
Yep.
Ourselves, rather.
That's like 15, that's the whole movie.
And like, he's just like, but I learned a lot. I learned they're very large. They could cloak themselves. They use plasma-based weapons. I'm like, well, okay, relax.
Dude, okay, mercenary from 2008. You're talking plasma-based. They got all sorts of space lasers up there.
They have the guns from Eraser. I saw them. They're out there in the woods.
Shoot a huge gator with that fucking thing.
You could have made him like a guy that worked at Roswell shooting fucking aliens. Area 51 basement, and he was shooting gray aliens or something. Just go nutty with it if you're going to do this dumb shit.
You have to get stupid with it, and you can't take yourself too seriously, which we have here. Big funny moment right here. I love a good, we're all falling down a hill.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is how they escape from them, is like all the surviving characters fall down the same huge hill into the water. I do like the shot. Yeah, the Falcon, Jesus fucking Christ.
Falconer.
This guy's got his little drone thing, and it flies back to the original like Bone Temple area. And I think the shot is cool of all the predators like taking off their invisible. All right, they're all gone. Yeah. We can all live freely again.
Loosen the belts. Take a shit.
Oh my God, I'm sick of sucking it in that whole fight.
I'm going to go back to the cabin and just hang out. I'm going to smoke a J. We're good for the night, right? That was a good hunt. I'm just going to. That was
pretty
all right.
Awesome. You guys want anything to eat?
Just got some sandwiches back in the cabin.
That would be cool if they burst in on like the predator reading a newspaper. Like, you know, the hunter should become the huntee. Yeah, or
my name used to be Seth, but then when we started making deals with Saudi Arabia and they brought over some falcons. And we just, me and the prince got so close that we just, he started calling me Falconer. And I'm going to be honest, I cried a little bit. He was my first friend.
We bonded over the comedy festival that was really good they were having.
We have very similar senses of humor, you know, the dismembering and killing of others.
Well, we don't know this because the predators never talk. We don't know anything about predators, really, even 17 movies in. I would imagine that these are richer predators than the predator in the first movie. Because that guy is like a hillbilly with a shit-kicking car that just drives
out
on the weekend. But these people have the air. You have to pay for this, obviously. Yep. This is something.
Oh, big time. Yeah, no, this is like the high society predators. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, putting out, 50 million glof bucks to, you know.
The one from the first one, let's just say. The one from the first one was clearly a draft dodger. These ones went through the program. They went through it. They said, like, fuck it. I'm going to do the military. Yeah. That guy was trying to get the fuck out of it.
In the beginning shot, when you see the ship enter Earth's atmosphere, it just says in the back, if you could read this, the bitch fell off in the back. Yeah.
And the Leonard Skinner one, of course.
But these are like the fancy. Yeah, exactly. Like,
it ain't me. It ain't me.
I ain't the prisoner. But yeah, these guys have a cabin, I'm imagining. Nice situation.
Yeah. Oh, exactly, dude. Yeah, they go back. There's a huge roaring fire, you know?
They go back to the
hot tub.
Yeah, yeah. Like, this is a company retreat, probably.
Exactly.
They're going back to the office on Thursday.
There's a stock ticker. It's like, oh, look at this.
Oh, we're doing very well.
All right, we said we weren't going to work this weekend, guys. Come on.
It's all predator numbers, but it's going up, so that's good.
Right. You know what? Yeah, but let's watch Wall Street. Yeah, you ready, guys?
Yeah,
let's finally do it.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Classic Predator. You're supposed to send that email.
string him up. Just string him up. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of his shit. I didn't want him to come anyway. Dead weight. Now you're going to be literally dead weight.
Guys, I think I hear a human outside. Let's go skin him. Come on. Come on, guys. Let's go skin him.
All right, shotgun a beer. You can let one go. Shotgun a beer.
I guess the only way a predator could drink a beer is by shotgunning it. The claws would get in.
It'd be tough. Yeah. It'd be very tough.
Stuff, yeah.
I mean, you could just like open it traditionally and then like kind of lean back and kind of pour it in there, maybe.
A tactical straw.
Around here is when Sonia Braga, Alice Braga. Sonia's her aunt, who's also a famous Brazilian actress. Yes, and she does. This is the whole thing about like, I heard about this mission in Guatemala and blah, 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 blah. Uh-huh. At the same time, you've got Walton Goggins. This is his sole scene of characterization where he's like, man, if I get back home, I'm going to do so much cocaine and I'm going to rape me some fine bitches.
Okay.
And the whole movie goes, I don't think so.
I mean, it's just, it's like 2010. We're kind of done with Maxim magazine. We're about to be done with
I was with you just... with the cocaine.
Yeah, sure.
It's the rape stuff.
How about make just love? Leave that home. How about you make love to fine bitches?
And the only thing that this does is Topher Grace is like, oh, yeah, man. Like, he's clearly uncomfortable with it. He's like, oh, yeah, man. It's
literally just doing the 70s show shit.
It's
like,
rape o'clock or something. Yes. Like, that's a joke. And like, but isn't he a nightmare serial killer that we're supposed to be known about or
so
whatever?
Dumb, sure. But I do love the Nikolai, because he goes and sits down next to Nikolai after that. And he goes, because he's like polishing his gun or whatever. And he goes, you should stay away from him. And he's like, yeah. It is kind of a nice little funny moment. But again, like, Topher Grace is going to be a serial killer in a few minutes and is really dumb.
It's really stupid.
They make him run through. I love this. They make him run as bait right here. They're like, okay, here's a new thing. Because he thinks he knows like how many of them there are or whatever. He's like, all right, we're going to like kill them one by one. This is the strategy. You just run because they wait for us to run and then they'll start hunting us. And then meanwhile, we will fucking hide in the woods and kill this guy. So you kind of see, it's kind of like in Return of the Jedi when we're racing through on the speeders the stormtroopers are on one side, Luke Skywalker's on the other.
You mean the scout troopers?
Oh, pardon me, dude. I'll go jump out the window
right now.
Thank
you. Thank you.
Just put him down. Eric, put him down.
Hey! What are you doing with that sword?
Come on.
But so they run, and then it's this other Gleep Glop that I guess got dropped down in the cage at some point.
We have to assume.
Uh-huh. Did you read the trivia? This is supposed to be, I guess, based on what the original Predator costume would have been when Jean-Claude Van Damme was playing.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so you're saying it's an elbow nudging situation.
Yes. Yeah.
Is it going to be a cage match with all of them? Or what are we doing
here?
Well,
you barely see this fucking thing.
This thing looks like fucking Groot. It looks like they shot Groot in the head.
It's a tree monster that gets shot in the chest. And you're like, wait, what's that? And then here come, it's a predator? No, it's Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, right, because Alice Braga is like, oh, I missed. Like, she finds her bullet hole in the tree. It's like, well, who killed this thing?
Right, and you think maybe a predator, and here comes a guy wearing a predator helmet.
Yes, and it's Lawrence Fishburne under this thing.
And you're
78 minutes in.
And you're in a desert of nothing happening, and you're like, ooh, this is exciting. Yeah. And then it's over in a minute.
Yeah. It's insane.
Dude, the fact that he brings everyone back to, like, this derelict spaceship he's living in.
Yeah.
Derelict set from Alien Resurrection.
Yes, his Ninja Turtle lair.
I did love all his arcade games and cigarette machines around those.
But
cool.
I thought, well, Larry Fishburne's a character now. Yeah. You know, that'd be something.
Cool. Here's this downed ship or whatever, and maybe we will get this running and get off the planet.
I'm imagining an ending of like The Thing. It's Larry Fishburne and Adrian Brody instead of MacReady and
we should have shed some of this cast by now.
Yes.
By the time we get to Fishburne, we should be like three people.
Exactly.
Really, they should be killed by predators and killing each other.
Nikolai and Walton should have been gone by now, I think. I mean, that's like, I thought this was going to be Tim Robbins in War of the Worlds. Mm-hmm. That's what I was waiting for with this. I was waiting for like more of a deterioration. Like first he saves them, but then like he's like, why am I allowing you guys to stay here? And
you guys
are going to make me like get killed. And then he does get killed.
They kind of do that, but it's very like, he's like talking about like, he's been here for so long and he's like,
come on, feel the vibe of this place, which is a very weird line in this movie.
I do like the one line. I think the first line he gives is like, well, who are you? And he goes, I'm alive.
Yes.
Which is kind of a cool, and it's like, it's fucking Fishburne. Yeah. I know what's going on.
You talk too loud, which is great.
He's also, by the way he's whispering in the beginning, it's not an accident. It's very Bill Duke coded. I'm going to have me some fun.
It's a very
similar cadence. I'm sure it informed the performance.
If I can smell you, if I can hear you, they can too.
Yes.
I'm the one that got away. The one you don't fuck with. And you know what? We don't see why that's a true statement.
No. He starts a little campfire and he waves it in a vent and then he dies.
Yeah. He gets exploded.
That's his entire care. Yeah, he just gets exploded.
This is a Resident Evil death in this moment here for Larry Fishburne. But he's like smoking him out.
Don't tease me with Lawrence Fishburne. Like, it's like.
It's like that fucking amateur movie.
Yes.
Remember Lawrence Fishburne's second build? He's in 3 minutes of the movie.
I guess he's supposed to like have gone crazy because after he leaves him, he like gives him food and water. He goes down to bed and then he's like talking to himself.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Six more mouths to feed, this, that, and the other thing.
Yes.
And the Green Goblin saying, you have to do it. Yes. You got to smoke him out.
Avenge me, Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, man. If there was just like an unexplained like Willem Dafoe head like above.
I would love that.
A devil on his shoulder.
That could have been a Predator trophy. Show me the
oh, rope, hell yeah,
that
dude.
Green Goblin mask.
I got a pumpkin bomb down that they all turned to skeletons.
Here's the thing. I don't think if you killed and stripped the flesh off and bleached the skulls of 10 actors, I wouldn't know who was who.
Yeah.
I would be able to tell you which one's Willem Dafoe's skull. I guarantee. Oh, yeah. I would be like, that's Willem Dafoe right there.
Him and Charlton Heston easily pick up.
See, you think there's fangs. There's not fangs. I know what you're thinking.
He's just a guy.
He's just a guy. It's just a guy.
He's just saying, you can narrow it down. It's the weirdest one.
Exactly. The teeth are. I feel.
Yeah,
like,
I might be a fucking werewolf.
Oh, man. All right. So you, which skull would you be able to identify?
Oh, I, none of them.
A Krasinski.
John Krasinski.
Because I would just be like, why am I so fucking annoyed?
Oh, it's tilted facing the camera. It's like smug. It's a smug skull.
I don't know if we should be talking about how we can identify skulls, by the way.
I'm not advocating for this.
What, you're sitting over there with a pair of calipers in your hand.
I don't have a doctorate yet.
It's not phrenology. We're not saying they're smart or anything.
Yeah,
I know whose skull is which. That's
probably the weird
face. It's just the shapes. We're just interested in the shapes.
Do you think if the kids come back like 2 years after the fact, they'll be able to identify Jodie Comer's skull in 28 years later?
Quite possibly, yes.
That's why he put it up so high. He's like, all right, if mom's the fucking angel on the tree here, I always know where to look when I visit the graveyard.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry, young boy. Yeah, for some reason, I just, I put Sam Stein up there. I don't know why.
Accident. That one's Willem Dafoe's skull. I can tell. I can just spot that from a mile
And no,
away.
He does not have fangs for the last time.
So Brody wants to know where this like spaceship is or whatever.
Yes.
Like that's the whole last movement of this movie is there's a ship here. We can get out of here.
There's a cool idea of when Fishburne is telling him the whole story. He's like, and there's a ship. And then Brody's like, there's a ship. He's like, can you fly? He's like, no, no one can. He's like, I think I can. And he laughs at him like, of course you think you can. No,
but why?
Exactly. Right.
Now, if he had worked at Area 51 or something, if you gave this character any background at
anything,
it's just like, I'm so badass. Yeah, I could fly anything.
This is also.
No, you can't.
We find out that the Yakuza guy has lost a couple of fingers from talking too much. That's his thing.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I forgot you were in the movie. Like,
exactly.
So many times.
And I think by the time he does the katana fight with a predator, the movie forgot he has got no fingers.
Yes.
Yeah. How is he gripping this sword
so well? I don't
know how
he's gripping the thing as well as he does. But also what's really dumb here, but it's not dumb. It's an interesting thing that they dumbly sort of, the movie isn't interested in, but Hattori is the guy's name. Just like Hattori Hanzo.
It's actually
Hanzo. Yes. Yeah. Hanzo is the guy's name. Just like Hattori Hanzo. but he finds that sword at that one point and he's like, oh, this is very, very old. They've clearly been doing this for a long time, much like the animated thing.
Yep.
And I'm like, why don't you investigate that a little bit? You can't just fucking say that and stop it.
Exactly.
Come on. Stop teasing this shit.
Or, you know, go full silly with it. Have a skeleton in an Elvis jumpsuit. Right there, like, oh my God, it's Elvis. That's what happened.
Yeah, no, he didn't die on the toilet. He was abducted off the toilet.
Oh, look, there was just too many of them in Vegas, okay? There were so many impersonators. You don't understand.
I'm going to huck these peanut butter peanut butter and banana sandwiches.
And bacon. You have to add bacon to it, too.
Oh, God.
The predator abducts him. He's white.
He's what?
Oh, that's a funny part of that very good movie.
It is a great movie.
So Brody right here in this moment, like, shoots out part of the ship and they're like, you missed. And he's like, I wasn't aiming for you. And the predators see the explosion. He's like, I'm calling the cavalry is the fucking line he's got, yeah, which is terrible. The funniest thing, though, is before Lawrence Fishburne is exploded by this predator, he fucking walks down this hallway and here's this big predator and he goes, you finally found me, eh, big dog? He calls this predator big dog. And then it's all from behind because it's just a cartoon of a man. You don't even see Larry Fishburne's face. It just explodes into video game guts.
You only had 2 days. You couldn't do anything with, like, actual practical blood or, like, we're not going to put him on a rig or have him, like, a last.
We can't get him dirty because it's going to take too much time to clean him up, and we don't have that.
Actually, I got to meet Arnold and Danny at the bar.
Yeah, we're going to the after hours place. Come on, Larry.
Don't tell Adrian where we... Do not tell Adrian where we go.
No nerds.
Son of a bitch. They've already gotten to the flights. All right, yeah, we got to wrap up here.
Larry, you're cool. I'll let you know. Don't tell anyone else.
Larry, real quick, this is me, Los Angeles born Nimrod Antal. I just have a quick question for you. Are Arnold and Danny planning to sneak off the island and screw us on this shoot?
No, they'll be in tomorrow. They said they will be here first thing in the
morning. Oh, excellent.
First thing in the morning.
Let me ask you a question. Were you in King of New York? If not, then we don't listen to you. Larry, let's go.
Yeah, so he's fucking exploded. He's dead. And then this is the dead stop of the movie. Like, I was already out, like I said, pretty much when the Predator showed up, but this is where everything stops dead. We're just walking through fucking hallways of this ship.
Yes.
Endlessly.
And, like, snooze. Again, like, should we be, if that's the case, every time we see somebody, they're getting picked off. Like, you know what I mean? In an interesting way.
No, we can't do that, apparently. This must be the Texas shot portion.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely is.
Yeah, this is all Robert Rodriguez's backyard.
Yes, exactly. It's just, there's no definition to any of these spaces. It'd be one thing if you actually paid money to really flesh out what this interior of the ship is. Maybe we go to the cockpit. We can't get started. We got to go out and get some. We got to go fucking hotwire it. We got to do something. We got to push it. Anything to contextualize what this ship is.
I kind of understand the instinct to be like, all right, we're in the jungle the whole time. I'd like to see some close combat predators in, like, a corridor situation.
You had nondescript jungle. Here's nondescript ship.
Exactly. And then, like, Topher Grace is like, I'm trapped in this area, guys. Come help. And
yeah, no, by the way, don't tell Topher Grace. Oh, okay? God, I'm not signing any autographs for nerds.
Dude, I don't understand this part right here. He gets himself separated, right? And then they're just literally, like, 6 inches away. It's like there was like a little column that sort of tilted over. I was like, someone just lifted up. They all look at him like, sorry, and just keep walking. And I was like, no. Just move that thing out of the way.
Yeah. I think they're tired of him. And then, of course...
Well, that's understandable.
It's like an Ed Wood set. You can easily move that thing out of the way.
And, like, it looks like... Because, again, we keep doing this thing where it's like, oh, my God, is the band breaking up? And, like, of course they are, because nobody likes each other because they're all criminals and murderers.
Yeah.
And then, like, of course, he has to save his twin because the beloved Russian comes back and saves him in the last minute.
Poor Nikolai gets got right here, though. Mm. The Predator fucking gets him. He gets stabbed through the chest a little bit.
Oh, then he explodes himself, though.
He's got he's got some bombs on him. And in Russian, he references the first movie.
Oh, really?
He tells him he has an ugly face.
Oh, I was waiting. You know,
you are one ugly motherfucker. They couched it and they hit it in Russian.
Because I was expecting Adrian Brody to say it at the end, and I was like, I'm going to fucking walk out of my own living room right now. I'm going to leave my family.
So that dude's dead, and apparently they've been climbing up.
So is the Predator as well, right?
Yeah, the Predator gets blood because he's like hugging him or whatever. Yes.
Now, which one was this? Was this? Tracker.
Oh, this was Soft Serve.
Was it Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy? Who was this one?
It was the Winter Soldier, dude.
I'm Tank, the Predator that nobody gives a shit about.
And I'm Dozer, his brother, the Predator.
Like it or not, you son of a bitch, you're still gonna...
So around here, this is what's annoying, right? Because we have not... It's kind of like this movie... knew that it had a big project due on Monday and did nothing about it the whole week, right through the weekend, did fucking nothing. And then it's Sunday night and they were like, oh no, we haven't killed any of these characters. Yes, the movie's almost over. The project's due. We got to start killing people.
And we, oh shit, we forgot to form bonds with these characters and or relationships. That's the big, ooh, it's dang.
Like, can someone have chemistry with anyone else? The thing is, it's like, it's Braga and Brody. Like, they, I don't even think they got juiced together.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
Definitely not.
And I'm not saying they have to be romantically entwined, no, but can we have someone that people that seem like they go together. Yeah, thank you. I mean, Nikolai was the only one that seemed human in this fucking movie.
Definitely, right. Yeah.
None of that. But what if Walton Goggins does a gay slur to Predator? How does that treat you?
I wrote down, did he just call him a space F word?
He sure did.
I think
I would rather watch space F word than this movie.
I have, and it's better.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no. There's an alien. Better have sex with
exactly,
it.
Exactly.
John Waters directs the hell out of that.
But this is where he like jumps on it and starts shivving.
Who's your daddy now, motherfucker?
And it's just like, presumably he was in prison for other crimes, and the Shiv thing, it's just so archetypal, like, yes. That's what a prisoner does.
Right. He was in prison and on the FBI top 10 for penning the song, mm-hmm. Cotton Eye Joe.
Oh, rednecks with a Z. Yeah, those dudes.
He was part of the rednecks gang. With an X.
I wonder if that guy ever got married.
What, the rednecks guy?
Well, because as the song goes, you know, had it not been for Cotton Eye Joe, he would have been married a long time ago.
He would have been married, but he didn't.
All I can think about when I hear that song is James McAvoy yelling at a kid. So there you go.
What?
In that movie that came out last year, what was it? It was the remake.
Speak No Evil.
Speak No Evil.
Oh, that's why I refused to see it. Yeah. It was just a direct English language remake of a...
Do they not use Cotton Eye Joe in the original?
I don't. Believe so.
Feel like that would have made a stamp.
Is it when they're doing their little choreographed dance?
Yeah.
I don't remember if it's
the original was British, right?
Yeah.
Swedish.
Swedish. Oh,
something not English language.
You're right.
But that is burned into my brain. Him just yelling at a kid for not doing Cotton Eye Joe dance enough. It's pretty funny.
All right. Who has seen the original of that movie?
I forget it completely.
All right. Well, then that. I just wanted to know if the ending was the same as the original, which I can't imagine.
I have not seen
a Universal Pictures.
Oh, no, I read about it. It's not.
Oh, it's not. Yeah, it would almost have to not be. Yeah. Anyway.
But so like, but then.
So Space F word.
Yes. But then took acting lessons from Kelly Rowland, I guess.
Oh,
wow.
Nice.
Baby. Wow. Baby.
Totally.
Damn.
Alien vs. Predator, Freddy vs. Jason.
But then he gets Mortal Kombat-ed, which is pretty cool.
Dude, this is really something. This is Walton Gotkins right here, dude. This fucking... Dude, like, you're peel and eat shrimp. This fucking skull and spine comes out.
I mean, better late than never.
Exactly. It's an hour 15 in. Let's fucking start ripping some skulls already.
Where are the trophies, dude? Where are the fucking trophies? You left Nikolai laying around.
We just had this big, cool action scene, right? We got some skull spine ripping. We got a Russian guy exploding himself in a Predator. Pretty cool. Better stop everything dead to have a quiet sword fight in the field with this other Predator and our fucking Hanzo guy right here.
It's like a fan film in the middle of the movie.
It certainly is. It is. The movie stops dead to show you a like 5-minute proof of concept film for a Predator samurai.
It's 2010. This was by this point in human history. Every single American under 25 was obsessed with swords and Japanese people, and that we needed it.
I don't really want to fight this guy, but I do want his skull. All right, fine.
Boy, wait a second. I don't know if I want to skin this guy alive. Look at those cool back tattoos he has.
And what do you know? That the Japanese sword fighting is so good, they both die.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's just like, obviously, like, we're doing a lot.
Falconer has fallen.
It was a nice shot of the Predator blood coming out of him from above. Yeah. I did appreciate that, at least.
I would say if I was in the fucking editing bay, hey, let's cool it with the pan flute. Let's fucking relax with the pan flute.
There should have been a guy off screen doing it.
You look at this. We have 50 different pan flutes. Look at all these pan flutes we got in here.
Wow, so many pan flutes. They've been doing this for a long time.
This one here, this is 12 minutes long. You wouldn't fucking believe it you heard that one.
And it's like, that's the thing, is the scope is almost too big of all these characters. If you just had that guy and you wanted to play it up as like a samurai kind of thing, and you have the pan flute type of score throughout the entire film.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah.
But just to do it once is very like, yes, okay.
Exactly.
Ridiculous.
They both die, yes.
They both die. The final movement of the movie here, Topher Grace Dunn stepped in a bear trap.
Jesus H. Christ. And again, yet again, we have to be like, are we going? I do love that Adrian Brody's first thing is like, okay, cool, let's booby trap him. I'm like,
yeah, totally.
I'm like, ooh. And I'm glad that it does happen eventually because I was like, that's a really good idea.
Yeah, I would love that. He's just like strapping shit to him.
He does eventually, yeah. But
in that moment, it would have been cool. Because you know what? Yeah, before that moment is before he's revealed to be a serial killer for no reason.
Do you have enough dynamite to reach all the way around him? I mean, that many.
It would make the Royce character cooler if you saw him strapping these grenades onto Topher Grace instead of trying to make that another twist.
These were all complimentary grenades from Zsa Zsa.
This is where Brody finds this predator tied up.
It's this big thing where Alice Braga, it's the big emotional scene of the movie where she's like, emotional? I will.
Oh, it's so unsuccessful. I skipped right over it.
It's I will sacrifice myself for this other guy that I just met. I'm in a fucking alien hell world. And I'm going to make sure I'm going to walk slowly with him so he doesn't die alone? Question mark.
Pretty much.
Okay. And then like Adrian Brody's like, well, see you later. Like, oh, wow. He's like a bad dude. I got it.
Okay.
I've seen this scene 3 times already.
Mm.
Yes.
And this is what he's like, I'm going to go get the other guy's ship. And then he goes, this is what he's like, you take me to ship.
Ship. Into space. Vroom, vroom.
Earth.
It's just so dumb.
And then
you might as well be trying to... This, you know what? It's the same kind of dumb as watching Chris Pratt talk to those raptors in those Jurassic World
movies.
Yes. It is the same kind of stupid.
Blue.
Yeah.
Blue, you listen to me now.
Exactly. Because by that third one, that fucking thing speaks fluent English with him, I swear to God.
I love you so much, Chris Pratt.
Want another game of cards?
Our slow walking duo, well, they just get caught in a darn predator net, don't they?
Oh, they do, and they fall into a trap. And again, I didn't see this coming because I didn't care to. You know what I mean? It's just he just cuts her neck with, I think, probably whatever. Earlier on, he's like, this plant will paralyze you and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And it's just he starts doing that thing that we do in bad movies where the guy was one way, but now he's a bad guy and he's talking totally different. Yeah. Give the lady a prize.
Yeah, it's bad. And it's just like the second that happened, like you can smell it a mile away.
Mm-hmm.
You know exactly what it is from the first like instance of it happening. And I was like, oh no.
You're primal fearing.
You're totally primal fearing.
Yeah.
And it's even worse because they clearly either they weren't happy with this Topher Grace performance or they didn't know what to do. Because they just have it through her eyes and his voice is modulated. And he's like, you didn't realize that I was the worst one of them all. And I'm like, this is the emotion. This is the end of the movie. You can't modulate this.
No. I have to be hearing what this is because it already makes little to no sense as is. Yeah, like, come on.
How would that win against a predator?
Exactly.
Well, I mean, befriend him and then slip him a neurotoxin?
You're saying it's a surprise, but Adrian Brody called this like 45 minutes ago. He was on top of this from the get-go.
Also, something like this makes sense if you have a pre-established set of rules at the beginning of this, much like the Hunger Games where the predators are like, you will have a chance to survive. The last of you is the one that's left alive. Then, like, there's motivation for him to fucking kill her in this moment or whatever. But no,
Aldish,
none of that.
Aldish, you said we could eat the children. Aldish, just no, don't you go back on it. I know your shit. No, we get to eat the children.
Adrian Brody cuts this dude down. He shows him a hologram of the alien. Shows him a hologram of Earth. Sets the car like, to Earth. Like
yes.
Whatever predator drone drive.
The Garmin, you get the...
Yeah, the fucking engine fires up. He's doing it all from like his little wristwatch. Yeah.
Get in, loser. We're going to Earth.
So that's all going on while this predator fight is happening.
Finally.
So like the guy just gets the engine to turn over and then like Alpha Predator comes out of nowhere and they have this predator fight, which I guess is kind of fine, but I have already given up on this movie entirely.
Yeah, did not really give care. A shit. No.
But a predator headbutting another predator. Headbutting him so hard that his helmet falls off.
And then there's a decapitation, right? Or something like that.
Yes, it's great. He beats the big berserker. I think the end is berserker predator.
Sure, of course it is. Of course it is.
He takes the mask off Classic Predator. Classic Predator looks like he was hosting the Kids' Choice Awards. He's got like all this predator blood all over him. He's got slime.
He's doing, it's real tough. It's a real tough afternoon for this guy.
I just got done awarding Rachel McAdams and Ryan Gosling for best kiss.
But he gets killed, and it's like, oh no, that was the predator I liked
or
something.
That was classic.
Who cares?
The ship takes off. We get this Rise of Skywalker fake ass Chewbacca death, you know, where like the ship fucking explodes. Like the predator, like Alpha Predator looks up. He goes, ship's taking off. Beep, boop, bop. Self destructs it. And I'm like, there's no way Adrian Brody was on. Yeah. Like he's last seen approaching the ship, you know, kind of a cool image here. Little guy, big ship kind of deal.
But it's his tiny little legs wasn't strong enough to jump to the ship.
He couldn't get up there. Just couldn't get up there. Poor buddy. You're just like, all right, well, that ship blew up. So he's clearly like going to come in at the last second here and save her. He didn't get on or whatever. And wouldn't you know?
Yeah, and there he is.
And they slow walk out of here together.
Brody does it cool because Christopher Topher Grace does his. He tries to revert because... Yes. Braga's fucked up on the drugs and can't talk, and it's like he stops being crazy just in the nick of time. So like Brody doesn't know what's going on, or at least that's what he thinks or whatever, and he gets into the please don't kill me or whatever, and it's this great Brody I won't. It's that but the predator will line. Pretty cool.
He then straps him with a bunch of grenades. Predator's about to get him. He blows up, but he's not dead, and here comes Brody jacked out of his skull. Come on, kill me, kill me. Remember that?
Yes, and he's covered in mud now because she told him how the first movie was. She saw it on a flight or something. But then the predator can sense his heartbeat or something.
No, he's like hiding behind a tree and the predator can hear the heartbeat. Yeah. And then somehow Brody understands that he can hear the heartbeat.
Of course.
And goes, oh, shit, and gets out of the way right before he's assassinated here.
And then they just fight each other. I think he used his big... He's got a big old fucking crazy machete himself.
He's got a big guy sword here, and he jacks it right into the predator's chin and really kills this thing. I have to say.
Now let's find a way off of this planet. What's that? 1,000 other parachutes? I guess it's another season of the tournament.
Yes, it's like everything is continuing. You're seeing parachutes and little cargo things dropping down, but yeah. Now let's find a way off this fucking planet. Yeah. I mean, there will never be a sequel to
Predators 2, not so much.
It did not happen. But they really wanted it to. I mean, this movie does not have an ending.
It does not.
Cue Little Richard, by the way, because remember that from the first one.
Exactly. That's what they were listening to on the way into the jungle. So, you know, just this is one of those. It's 106 minutes of a commercial for... Wouldn't you rather be watching Predator?
Yeah, it's better than this. Exactly.
But that is the end of the movie, man. We'll go around the horn for some final thoughts. Eric Siska.
Yeah, it's a big no for me. I do not like this. The thing is, it's got an interesting start, and that's all it has. Yeah. And then it doesn't have an ending to what you were just saying. It's just, it's an incomplete. I'm going to write that on Nimrod's homework.
Sure.
And I've liked two of his other movies at least pretty well.
Even Retribution is better than this, and it's Liam Neeson sitting in a car.
It was a big disappointment to me in 2010. It's a big disappointment to me in 2025. Yikes.
Did you just see this in theaters?
I don't know. I forget if I saw it in theaters or not, but I definitely saw it around release. If it wasn't theaters, it was definitely some type of nefarious internet thing.
Speaking of nefarious internet activity, Chris Cabin.
When I saw the first time, I definitely liked it more when I saw it in theaters. And this coming back to it, I'm just like kind of like indifferent to it. Like I don't know what to think. Like I genuinely am like, if you are a predator head, if you really like these creatures and like this world, I suppose you should see it because it is a interesting version. The story is an interesting idea that I can give you. But as the boys have pointed out, even at an hour and 47 minutes, which is supposed to be a nice quick runtime, this thing is a slog.
It's a drag. Yeah.
This thing fucking takes a long time to get going. And again, like the mystery doesn't really work. The gore is nice, but it's all in the back. It's very much kind of like if it was in the background, I wouldn't be pissed off. But that's about it for me.
Steve Sadek.
Yeah, it just seems like this was like, I mean, because apparently Rodriguez had this script in the 90s and then like sent it to Fox. And then years and years later, like, hey, we want to do it. And then like they rewrote it and all this stuff. I'm not going to say that Robert Rodriguez's initial script was better, but it just sort of seems like. This is clearly like six different.
I would imagine it was
six different ideas.
Yes.
None of them done well. Like the idea of like the Twilight Zone, five characters in a room searching for an exit deal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is a cool idea, and then like with a smattering of Predator. Like you know what I mean? I would even rather up the human drama.
Yep.
Pull the Predators exactly. Way
totally.
Back.
It's a Hellraiser situation. Yes. Like you had a script that's like this cool mystery thing, and then you also then put in Predators.
I mean, it's not hard to do. It's a ragtag team. You have them turn the tables on the Predators a few times. They're celebrating one night. Mm. You know, you make the camaraderie happen, and they refuse to engage with their characters.
No, it's an incredibly unsatisfying movie, and it's got a great cast. I mean, fucking. There's three Oscars between in this cast alone. 2 Day Brody, 1 to Mahershala Ali.
Yeah.
But still.
Still, no, it's something. No, big disappointment here. Like I said, I was geared in for that. The first 45, I was like, what? Okay. Like, because I had already seen Eric's mm-hmm. half-star thing, and I was like, what is he talking about? I was like, okay. You know, but then I was like, oh, now I get it. Like, as the movie went on. I will say, though, before this new movie comes out, I do want to complete the franchise and watch 2018's The Predator, the Shane Black. Not to be confused with Letterboxd just told me 2007's The Predator, directed by Stormy Daniels.
Okay.
And if I may, plot description.
Excuse me.
Sick, twisted, depraved. She has been called them all, but most refer to her simply as The Predator as she prowls the night looking for new additions to her collection.
Uh-huh. Danny Glover's in this?
I would not recommend this one. I would say if you haven't, go back, check out 87, check out Predator 2.
Prey. I love Prey.
I still haven't seen Prey. I'm going to really try and watch it before Badlands comes out for sure.
I love Prey.
Yeah. So we'll see. I do still have a slimmer of hope in my eye for this new one, but I do not know. But definitely, unless you're like a Predator completist or something, this is an unfortunate waste of time. But it wasn't an unfortunate waste of time talking about it and having a good time today. But that is our episode on Predators. But if you want more We Hate Movies, including commercial-free versions of shows just like this one, head over to the Patreon, patreon.com/WeHateMovies, where there has been a big overhaul, man. We got a new tier up, the Craven tier. We had just done our first WHM After Dark a couple weeks ago. That was a lot of fun, our AMA-style chat show. And then also next month on the Craven tier, we will be introducing the premiere of our new quarterly modern horror show, Scaredy Cats, where we're talking about Zach Kreger's Barbarian.
Oh, that's pretty cool. And speaking of quarterly, I think I can announce it here.
Yeah, do it.
We're going to be doing a commentary on Friday the 13th, Part 2. Ooh,
hell yeah.
Releasing in October for the Spooktacular.
Yes,
that's right.
Patreon.
And catch up. There's so many other commentaries we have on that Patreon, including Friday the 13th, Part 1.
One of our all-timers. That's a big fan favorite commentary is that first one. Second one is in the can. It is very funny.
Speaking of fan favorites, we did Aliens, not like Predators. Aliens, as the We Love Movies episode. It's a big fat premium episode for you to enjoy.
Mm-hmm. That is right. What are we doing on the Star Wars Gleep Glossary this month?
Yes, more alien shit going on the Gleep Glossary, where you're talking about Bothan lover Gavin Darklighter, which is a relative to Biggs Darklighter. And yes, he gets romantically involved with a Bothan.
That's right.
So you're going to want to tune in for that.
That was last Friday that came out, along with last Thursday we had this month's Animation Damnation.
On Tiny Toon Adventures. It's a plucky-centric episode. A fun one.
Fun one. A lot of celebrity, quote, impressions, end quote, in that episode. And Chris Cabin, what was going on Melrose 210 this
month? Well, much like there was alien shit going on in the Star Wars, there's human shit going on in the...
Is that right?
A lot of human shit. Of
Some
course,
predators, too, in that show.
I was going to say, Joe's baby is being looked at like a fucking hot meal by Kim. So we might not know what's happening next.
Australian Chris
actually
also
know.
Being a bit of a predator in the hotel.
Turns out he is the king among them all. He's the godfather, it seems like. But a lot of fun on that. A lot of fun at 90210, you know.
Absolutely. But as always, here on We Hate Movies, next Tuesday, a brand spanking new episode will drop. Steve Zadek, what classic film are we talking about next week?
Next week will be the first time I've watched this sober. It's Tron.
No promises on the S word. We'll see when you're watching.
I don't know about that.
I've seen it sober once before because I was a child when I first saw it. And then since then, nothing but baby.
Absolutely. It's going to be a big old fun episode talking about that super fun-ass movie Tron. And until then, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Gavin.
Take it easy.